Nowhere to go. The rest of us, we're gonna. I'm just gonna read some verses in 1 Thessalonians, but we're gonna end up at Revelation chapter 6. And you'll understand why in just a minute. But as we go through this, Paul told the Thessalonians in verses 1 through 3 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, but the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. He said, the times and seasons of the day of the Lord. Now that's in reference to the day of the Lord, the upcoming things. He said, there's no need to write these unto you. He said, and so I've asked myself that question, why? Well, the main reason was you're not going to be here for it. When the rapture occurs, you're taken up. That's why I believe we spent a whole Sunday on the pre-tribulation rapture. And I believe he's taken up, and all the Christians are taken up. So he said, there's no need I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. The idea is nobody knows when that day is going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen, so don't you don't have to fret about it. That's what they were doing. They thought they had missed the rapture, and the day of the Lord had come. Many of them had thought that, and they were fussing over that. And he said this, for when they shall say peace and safety. Let me give you a little clue. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That description of the day of the Lord probably couldn't be a better description, the travail of a woman giving birth. Now, as a man, I've never had to give birth, and I thank God for it. But I watched my wife go through our son when he was born. I think it was about 36 hours in labor, right? At least. And I'm telling you what, she was not fun to be around. Our best friends who worked at that hospital that she was at walked up to the room. And I saw with a glare in her eye, she told him to get out of the room. She was in pain. And I tell you what, that's the greatest comparison that I have to the day of the Lord. When I remember back 30-some years ago when my wife was in great travail and pain in childbirth, Paul said, that's what the day of the Lord's going to be like. It's going to be an awful thing. But Paul said this. This is what I didn't understand at first. But I put two and two together. He said, I have no need to write unto you. Why didn't Paul give him the details? What details did the Thessalonica church have? And why didn't Paul give him more details? Well, I believe Paul probably didn't give him more details because all he had was what he had from the Old Testament. Now, stay with me. This is a thought that you need to comprehend. See, John hadn't written Revelation at this time. You know, Paul wrote this letter in 54 AD. It wasn't until around 96 AD that John wrote the book of Revelation. So Paul did not have the book of Revelation. He did not have what the day of the Lord was going to be like. He didn't have it detail by detail. We're so much more privileged than the Thessalonica people. We're so much more privileged than Paul was because we have the book of Revelation. You can know exactly from the time of the rapture to the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. You can outline it almost, not day by day, but you can outline exactly what's going to take place for those 7 years. But Paul didn't have that. Here's the information Paul had, and I only picked a few of the Old Testament passages, but this is what Paul had to tell the Thessalonians. So he didn't go to Revelation and give them a detailed sketch of the day of the Lord. He just said, as Isaiah said, it's going to be a vengeful time. It's going to be a wicked time. Isaiah 34:2 said, Paul knew this, that the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations and his fury upon all their armies. And he hath utterly destroyed them, and he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Isaiah said, that's what's going to happen. They're going to be delivered to the slaughter, and Christ in the second coming is going to destroy all of unsaved mankind at the end of the tribulation. There will be a lot of death, a lot of bloodshed. So the rivers flow with blood up to 7 feet high. Joel chapter 1, verse 15, that Paul could have had a handle on and could have had access to. It said, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. as the a destruction from the Almighty, it shall come. Amos told us in 5:18, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. In Joel chapter 2, once again, he said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh. It's a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So Paul had an understanding of the day of the Lord, not in detail, but it was going to be a day that there was never been a day, a period of time like this, or after it, there'll never be another period of time. This is going to be the worst period of time that the world has ever seen. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 15 said that this day is a day of wrath. It's a day of trouble and distress. It's a day of wickedness and desolation. It's a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. So Paul had the writings of the Old Testament because he was a Pharisee. So he had some of the scriptures in the Old Testament. So when Paul said, I have no need to write unto you, part of it was because the rapture's coming and you're going to be gone. But the other thing he said, I have no need to write unto you because I don't have a lot of details to give you about the day of the Lord in the tribulation period, because God hasn't revealed that to me. And God didn't reveal it to Paul. God revealed it to John. He didn't reveal it to the other apostles. He revealed it to John. John was the one who wrote the book of Revelation, and God gave him a detailed outline of what exactly would take place after the rapture. And so you and I sit back and say, yeah, we can have an understanding of what's going to take place, but Paul didn't even know that. You're far above because you have the whole counsel of God, because you have the whole New Testament, the whole Bible before you. You can know what the Old Testament saints said about it. Paul knew that. But Paul didn't know what John said about it because Revelation wasn't written for almost 30 years after Paul died and was with the Thessalonica people. And so Paul said, there's no need I write unto you because I can tell you it's going to be gloomy, it's going to be dark, it's going to be a day of distress, it's going to be a day of clouds and thickness, a day of trouble. This is going to be a greater time, a more wicked time than the world has ever seen, and that includes the flood. There never in all of the history of mankind has there been a day like this, and there will never be anything to match it after it. This is going to be, so Paul knew from the Old Testament that it was going to, and that's what he portrayed to the Thessalonica people. It's going to be a gloomy day, but he couldn't give them the detail of what was going to take place. You know, we're so privileged to have the whole counsel of God, to know the past, the Old Testament, the present, the New Testament, and then to know the future, the book of Revelation. We can know exactly what's going to take place, how blessed we truly are. You know, there's a world. For the world, there's no going to be no escape. The world one day is going to be shocked. When the rapture takes place and the day of the Lord comes, I believe the world will be shocked because I believe it's been duped by the devil. You know, it's not hard to understand seeing all the silliness and foolishness of people today. When somebody doesn't like somebody, they can go out and shoot them, like we saw this week. I don't care how much they disagreed with them, you don't have a right to do that. But this world's been duped by the devil. You know, I'm amazed how people today are deceived and fooled. You know, you say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let's just take just a minute. And I'm not meaning to go back against anything, but we were duped by the devil during COVID, were we not? Now, I know when COVID hit, I had never faced anything like that before. They didn't have COVID 101 in Bible college. And so when it hit, but I saw how the world was just duped. Because you had to wear masks everywhere you went because masks was going to keep you from it. Listen, those masks, they weren't going to keep you from getting COVID. And if you take the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID. That's not true. And everybody that went in the hospital, like Brother Tom, Brother Matt, they put him on a ventilator. But you know, I went to the hospital a number of times when Tom was there. I couldn't see him on the ventilator. But Tom was one who came off the ventilator. And so I went to the nurse. I said, what's the next step? She looked at me and she said, I don't know. Nobody's ever lived. Everybody that we put on the ventilator has died up to this point. But God had something in store for Tom. We were duped. People were duped. It made me realize that just because people say this is what you need to do, people, I mean, they didn't get together at Christmas, people, families, they turned people in. They didn't go and celebrate Thanksgiving, their Christmases. We were alienated from our families. We had to stay alone. They shut the schools down and kept the kids at home and lost. I feel so bad for those athletes in that year that they lost a year of their lives. Of some of them, that's what they enjoy in the schooling. They had to go to on the computer, and they're so far behind to this day. It just made me realize that because one person said, this is what we need to do, the world just fell into suit. That's going to be the tribulation. That's what's going to take place with the devil as he rises as the Antichrist. You know, people swallow it hook, line, and sinker. People follow the politicians today. And you know, and again, I know it's true because we had a neighbor. It didn't matter what Mr. Biden did because he was a Democrat, because he was the president, it was good. But I could outline just the first day in office that he took away and shut down all the pipelines so we couldn't be energy independent, and we watched the prices just soar in everything. But people sat back and said, it's good to let all the illegal immigrants just come in. That's a good thing. Well, I don't mind taking care of the illegal immigrants if they do it the right way. But the world's duped. The world's just, because that person's in power said to do it, it's got to be right. We swallow these things hook, line, and sinker, and I'm trying to describe for you that's exactly what's going to take place in the day of the Lord. You know, and then when you say peace and safety, well, they will, and we'll look at that in just a second, sudden destruction comes. What does that mean? Well, could mean a lot of things. Could mean the consequences of the rapture. Just think about that when the rapture takes place. It's going to be an unusual time when the rapture takes place and they have to justify millions of people gone. Or there could be a nuclear war. It could be a worldwide disease, as we saw. It could be a catastrophic world event like a meteor or comet slamming into our planet, creating massive earthquakes, volcano eruptions, or huge tidal waves. The list could go on and on and on and on. This day of the Lord is going to be an awful time. And see, for the Thessalonians, Paul said it's going to be dark and it's going to be gloomy. But he didn't have details. That's why he said, there's no need for me to write on you. You know what I know. I can only tell you what the Old Testament has told me. But I get to tell you a whole lot more. And I don't have the time, I wish I did, to go into all the details, but we went through the book of Revelation. But what I want to do is have you take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 6. I want to give you just a little taste of what's going to take place during that tribulation period, the day of the Lord. Now, I wish I had time to go through all the seals, all the vials, all the trumpets, leading into the second coming of Jesus Christ, because the trumpets and the vials, that's when it gets really nasty. But I picked the first one, the seals. This is the lightest of God's judgment, but when you see that this is the lightest of God's judgment, you can just imagine what's going to take place later on. And so we see that in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw the Lamb opened up one of the seals. This is the opening of the seals. This is during the tribulation period. And I heard it as it were the noise of a thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And here's the first seal. When it was opened, I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. Now, if you don't know Scripture and you don't understand Scripture, that is because they're riding a white horse, because they have a crown on, you would think that that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't study the Scriptures, you could be very confused here, because that is not the Lord Jesus Christ. When they saw a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer, that's the picture not of Christ, but it's a picture of the Antichrist. So the first thing that's going to happen is we go into the tribulation. I'm not going to be there. I'm telling you that. I'm excited about that. And I hope you're not going to be there. But if you are, mark my words, I can give you more detail than what Paul could give. He said it's going to be dark and it's going to be gloomy and it's going to be a day of destruction. Isaiah said it's going to be a day of vengeance. But he couldn't go into detail, but I give you the details, because we have them in the writing of John that God so graciously gave so you and I could understand those days. Number one, so we're thankful we don't have to be there, but if we know of people who are going to be there, this will burden your heart to get them saved, to try to get them saved, at least give them the message. Because the first thing that happens, the first seal depicts the rise of the Antichrist to power. Before the terrors of the tribulation are going to break loose and will finally lead to the great battle of Armageddon, where God, the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a period at the beginning of world peace. That's why Paul said in the Old Testament, when you say peace and safety, no, destruction's coming. Because that's the beginning. And the Antichrist comes on the scene and he promotes world peace. See, the Antichrist comes in on a white horse, and he's given a crown to conquer, and he has a bow in his hand, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But he comes in and he sets up the world in peace. He has the answer to worldwide hunger. He has the answer to worldwide disease. You know, I don't know if he's going to promote that he has the answer to cancer and he can heal cancer. I don't know, but he comes in making an awful lot of promises to get a lot of people to follow him. And that's where the world is deceived. He's the liar. He's a great deceiver. The world is lulled into a false sense of security, but it's going to be followed by a time of war and famine and death. Make no mistake. The world's desperate desire for international peace, where it's going to serve as bait for this satanic trap. That longing for security and safety will play right into the Antichrist's hand, because he says, he comes on the scene and says, I have all the answers. Now we're going to see at the end of the tribulation, we won't see it because I'm not going to take the time, but at the end of the tribulation, all those armies are gathering at Jerusalem, because the Antichrist hasn't given everything he said he was going to give. He didn't conquer world peace, because of the judgments that God gives, it was impossible. Now if you had the mark, you could buy and sell a little bit. If you didn't have the mark, you couldn't do anything. He didn't solve world, he didn't bring world peace. He didn't solve the hunger, world hunger, and all the battles that are there, because he made a lot of promises when he comes on the scene, and people, and now I understand, people are going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. He's going to do it. Just as the way they said, here's the answers to not get in COVID. Here's the answer to survive in COVID. Here's all the answers to this. And here's the answer today, that from the politicians it's coming. And people they want safety. They want peace. They want that so bad in their hearts and in their minds that they accept anything. That's what's going to take place here. That longing for security and safety is going to play into the hands of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will convince the world that he can provide for them everything. He is particularly going to deceive Israel, for Israel has so long desired for peace. You know, there really hasn't been a time frame where Israel hasn't been at war with somebody. There never have been at peace. Even since they became a nation in 1948, it's been a constant battle, a constant struggle. And you know, today it's a constant battle and it's a constant struggle. Everybody seems to hate Israel. They long for peace. They would love to have peace. And the Antichrist comes in and says, you know what? I'm going to make a 7-year pact with you. A week pact. A week, W-E-E-K. For 7 years, we're going to give you peace. We're going to sign a peace agreement. And to show you that I mean what I'm talking about, you can rebuild your temple. That's what Israel wants so badly. If you do any research on this, you'll find out that Israel, certain parts of the Jews have everything in place for the new tabernacle. The new temple, excuse me, not the tabernacle, the temple. Now, I don't think the new temple is where the old temple is now. As I've researched it, I think they're missing it. So they're fighting over where the temple is right now and who has right to the temple. And I don't even think that's going to be the place where the temple's built. But the Antichrist is going to come in and give them permission to build the temple. And then they've already got the candles and the lighting and all the show things, and they even have a red heifer set aside. And there's very rare, but it takes a red heifer. They've got all that set aside. They got the priest garment set aside. If you do any research on it, you'll find out they've got it all set up, but they can't use it. Then the Antichrist comes on the scene. The rapture takes place. The Antichrist sees the world just wheeling. What's taking place? And he comes in and he says, I have all the answers. I have the answers to peace. And he makes a peace agreement with Israel for 7 years. And he says, you know what? To show you my good faith, I'm even going to let you build the temple and put your temple, and you can begin to worship God. Well, if you know anything about Israel, you know what they think this is? They think this is the Christ, not the Antichrist. And they swallow it hook, line, and sinker. The false peace that the Antichrist brings, that false peace that the Antichrist will bring, will come to an abrupt end at the midpoint of the tribulation, where he goes in and he desecrates the temple. He destroys the temple, just as with the Maccabees, and going back to Epiphanes and back in the Old Testament, he went in and took a pig and killed the pig and took the pig's blood and threw it all over the altar and the sacrifices in the temple that was there. Desecrated it. And that rose up the Maccabees, and there was great war shed, bloodshed, and it was an awful time. But that's exactly, Epiphanes was a picture of the Antichrist that comes on the scene, and that's exactly what he does. He comes in and he desecrates the temple in Jerusalem, and he's raised up and he demands to be worshipped. Now, here's what's interesting, and I don't have time to go into all the details from all the research I did. But you know what? God could be in the temple, and God could be in heaven, because God could be everywhere, because he is God. But Satan doesn't have that attribute. Satan can't be running the world and in the temple at the same time being worshipped. So you know what? And I'm not being critical here. But I think that's where AI comes into play. And they create something in that temple that is absolutely magnificent. My wife showed me a thing on Facebook. And it was a guy talking, and we both think that was AI produced. And it was amazing. This man looked like a real man, but saying what he said to who he said it to, it had to be AI produced. It had to be. I was listening to Jack Hibbs. He's a preacher. And he came over to the thing, and it was Mr. Trump was congratulating their church and saying some great things about their church. And you know what? It wasn't Mr. Trump. I thought it was. I thought, how did they get Mr. Trump to say all that stuff about their church? It wasn't them. You know who it was? It was AI. Don't be shocked when some of you get a phone call and a voice comes on and you recognize the voice, and it may not be who you think it is. AI is an amazing thing. It scares me. But I think that's what's going to take place. AI is going to create something in that temple that people are going to, and they're going to be demand to worship, and it's going to represent the Antichrist. It's going to be totally, absolutely the most amazing thing the world's ever seen in that temple. And then he's going to demand to be worshiped. He breaks that covenant with Israel, and he demands that everybody worships him. And if you don't worship him, guess what? You're going to be beheaded. That's the choice of death. He betrays the Jewish people, and he launches a deadly attacks upon them. Listen, folks, there can be no peace until the Prince of Peace sets up his earthly millennial kingdom. We don't know what peace is, because peace is something that only comes from God. The fact that this rider, he's on a white horse, he has a crown, and he goes forth to conquer, but the Bible says he has a bow in his hand, but what's he missing? Arrows. He has no arrows. You know what that's significant of? He doesn't go and conquer through bloodshed, through a great army. He conquers through peace. That's what he does. His conquest will be a Cold War victory, a peace won by agreement, not conflict. See, Paul knew nothing of this, but John lays it out for us, because the first seals open and the rider on that white horse comes in, the Antichrist. And he begins to gain power through peace, and he begins to gain control. But then the second seal, verses 3 and 4, real quickly, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went forth another horse that was red, and the power was given him to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. A red horse went out. Red is the color of fire and depicts war. John told us that it was granted for this person to take peace from the earth. And so peace is going to vanish from the earth. It was all set up by the Antichrist at first, that peace agreement with Israel, that they can have the temple. I'm going to feed the people. We're going to create a worldwide peace. But shortly thereafter, the second seal is revealed. And it goes and it takes peace away from the world. Jesus said it like this to the Jews, that nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And that's exactly what everybody thinks during the tribulation period, everything's going to be united around the Antichrist. Now, you're going to follow him, but you know what? The only way he can get you to follow him is what? He gives you the mark. And if you don't take the mark, guess what happens to you? Death. If you don't worship in the temple, guess what happens to you? Death. That's not a great leader. There is war, and this rider comes in and takes away peace, and people are not going to even have a clue what peace really is. Men will slay one another. It'll be on a way higher scale than you're even seeing today. Men will slay one another on an unprecedented scale. Violence and slaughter will become commonplace. Now, the scripture doesn't give us the full details, but again, you know, when I always think about this, when God showed this vision and all the things that were going to happen in the tribulation to John, and he wrote about it, he didn't know what a helicopter was. He didn't want to know what an atomic bomb was. He didn't know any of that stuff. So what's he supposed to write in there? So when the vision was given to him, He put locusts with these, and he describes these locusts in ways that are just unimaginable. But I think John got a glimpse of some things that were going to take place in modern technology, and he had no idea how to write it. He had no idea what an airplane was, a helicopter, a stealth bomber. He had no idea what these things were, and so he described it in his own language through locusts and the different things. But I'm telling you what, with our modern weaponry today, it suggests an unimaginable holocaust that's going to take place. As prominent as the Antichrist was in promoting peace, the Antichrist will play a major role in the wars that follow. In the Antichrist's attempt to crush his enemies and rule them with a rod of iron. It'll touch off wars that will last throughout the remainder of the tribulation period. Now, this is just the beginning of the tribulation. These are just the first seals where God's beginning to open the doors to show you what's going to happen. It comes out, everything's good for the first year, year and a half, because it's peace. Israel's the most excited they've ever been because there's peace, and they get their temple. But midway through the 3.5 years, that's why it's called the tribulation and the great tribulation. The Antichrist breaks everything. He demands to be worshipped, and you don't worship him, he kills you. If you don't worship him, you can't be fed. You can't work. You'll have to run for your lives. And if you won't take the mark, he's going to hunt you down until you are destroyed or killed. Or God places a mark in your head and seals you that you'll be able to go into the tribulation or the millennial period after the great second coming of Christ. Let me just give you the third one real quickly and I'll be done. These are so fascinating to me. But in verses 5 and 6, it says, and when he opened the third seal, this is just the third seal, I heard a beast say, come and see. And behold, lo, a black horse, and he that sat him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The black horse comes in, and he that sat upon it had a pair of scales in his hand. The color of black is associated with famine throughout the Old Testament. The pair of scales that the rider is carrying in his hand pictures a rationing of that will result from the famine. If you go back to the time of Joseph and God said 7 good years, and you better put it aside, and Joseph put it aside because what was coming next? 7 years of famine. And I'm telling you what, we weren't there. But I'm telling you, it was a famine that was unseen before in the world. You say, how do you know that? You weren't there. Yeah, I'll tell you how I know it wasn't there. People gave everything they had just to get a little bit of wheat. When Joseph was done, Pharaoh had all the wealth of all the land. Not only did he have all their wealth, he had all their land. He had all their possessions. They gave everything they had to Pharaoh, to Joseph, just to get a little bit of wheat to survive. This was a famine like no other famine. That's what God sends here. That's what he's warning of. You see, you say, God's a mean God. No, listen, God's not a mean God because he's warning us everything that's going to take place. He's telling you everything that will take place. He's telling the world, and he gives us the word of God, and it's there for everybody. The easiest thing in the world to purchase today, you know what it is? It's a Bible. It's right there for us to understand. And if you read it and don't understand it, ask somebody who can. But God put it right before us. And he said, there's going to be peace. Yeah, and so don't be deceived. Because that peace is broken and he takes peace away. The Antichrist rises to power and you'll see death like you haven't seen death up to this point. And then the famine comes in a great way. The pronouncements reveal how devastating this famine will be. A quart of wheat. That's what I associate these numbers with, a measure of wheat for a penny or a denarius, a day's wage. So for a day's wage, you'll work a full day and you'll get a quart of wheat. Now, if you know anything about this, so I did some research. How much is a quart of wheat? Well, a quart of wheat is barely enough to sustain one person for a day. So if you go out and work all day, and the Antichrist does a little bit, he takes everything that's there and gathers it for himself. And you got to have the mark to purchase this. But you can purchase for a day's wage a quart of wheat. And that denarius represents a day's wage for the average worker. So their labor for a day will barely provide enough food for themselves and not enough to feed a family of any amount. But those families will be able to purchase 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. Well, barley, that will provide more food for the family. But barley is a low in nutritional value and commonly is fed to livestock. That's what you're going to have, day in and day out. That's all there's going to be available. This famine hits, And it comes upon the people so badly that they begin to die of hunger. Thus, the person's wages will barely feed three people with low quality of food for a day. Both of those scenarios represent the starvation wages and signifies that there's going to be a great famine conditions in the land. That's just the beginning, folks. See, Paul didn't have this to give to the Thessalonians. He just had the Old Testament. It's a day of vengeance. It's a day of wrath. It's going to be a day of darkness and gloominess. But he couldn't go into any detail because God didn't reveal that to him. He revealed it to John. But John has revealed it to us. And this is exactly what's going to take place. You say, Pastor, yeah, I'm telling you. This is what the Bible says. You know, everything so far in the Bible that God has said has come true exactly like he said it would. And it's going to go all the way till eternity begins. There's going to be great peace. The Antichrist rises to power and has all the answers, but they're all lies. They're all lies. The second seal's opened and peace is taken from the earth. People war against people, nation against nation, people against people, family against family, family members against family members. I don't think you can even imagine. If you come from a dysfunctional family, you can't even imagine what this is going to be like. And then that third seal's open and famine hits the land. People are starving to death. They'll work an entire day if they can find work for a quart of wheat and three quarts of barley just to be able to give their family sustenance so they can survive. Folks, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of the tribulation period. You see, why are you spending so much time on it? Number one, if there's somebody here that's not born again or by the sound of my voice through live stream, I want them to get saved. The rapture could happen today. Now, there's signs for the second coming of Christ. We can know there's signs. You know what? I know the second coming of Christ isn't coming yet. You know why? Because the rapture hasn't come. So there's going to be signs for the second coming of Christ when God destroys all of unsaved mankind. But for the rapture, there's no signs. It could happen today. It could happen this moment. It could happen tonight. And if you're left behind, that's why I wanted to take this week and next week. Not go into full detail of the whole tribulation period, the whole day of the Lord, but just the first six seals to give you a glimpse of what the day of the Lord is in greater detail than the Thessalonians got. Paul didn't know any of this until he got to heaven. Now he knows it all. We're so privileged. And again, people say, God is a God of vengeance. God's a God, angry God. No. An angry God would just destroy the world. But you know, God, for 120 years, had Noah put an ark up, a boat in the middle of a desert. He preached righteousness, and he preached the flood was going to come for 120 years to warn people. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then, today he's given us this book that outlines exactly what's going to take place. Now, it doesn't tell us when it's going to take place, but it tells us what's going to take place. That doesn't sound like a God of vengeance to me. Oh, he's going to take vengeance upon the Gentiles because they tortured and went against Israel for all these years. And he's going to go against Israel and bring judgment down upon Israel because they rejected him. So judgment's coming. But it's not of a God who's angry. It's not of a God who's vicious. He's warning us. He's telling you and me to tell others. So we know exactly what's going to take place. And if you choose that direction, you choose to reject Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation, then the choice becomes yours. But God is a great God. But judgment's coming. You know, there's a lot of wickedness in the world today. And you say, boy, Pastor, they're getting away with it. No, they don't. If they don't get saved, they'll spend an eternity in hell and be judged for all eternity. But if the Lord chooses to tarry or come back, they're going to get their judgment. So I don't worry about all the wicked people in the world. I just worry about me, that I'll be what God wants me to be and share this truth from His Word. I want every head bowed.